What's going on, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Insights from the Locker Room. I am your host, Derek Bone Crusher Dennis, in the building with my co-host,
Tyler Moose Johnston.
Oh my yes, God, my the Cronin voice. Moose. Oh,
my voice, dude.
Moose is a little tired today, folks.
I'm a little tie. You know what I mean? I coached a camp yesterday for 4 hours on field turf, and it was like 86 degrees out here.
Don't get mad for all the cane people. I heard it snowed up there yesterday.
Yeah, it was hot down here in the desert yesterday. And your boy's lips are burnt. My neck's burnt.
Ew.
I'm dying. But we're here. We're still recording. It's a podcast. It's Insights from the Locker Room. Thank you so much for listening. At the end of this podcast or the video, if you're watching, make sure to like, subscribe, follow. That's what supports the podcast the most, and it's completely free. Now going on to this episode. Buckle up, partners.
Hey, me and Tyler had a little chat before we started recording. We felt like our finds are a little biased. We stay in between the off-topic fine is getting low.
The self-suck fine's getting low. But you know what?
We don't use too many of the other chips.
The under-the-bus fine here is feeling a little full.
So I think this episode... I think we could just label it the under the bus episode.
Under the bus episode.
We finna 11. Put the wheels on the bus go round. My son's favorite song right now. We finna roll over any and everyone we decide to talk about today.
If they come up, man, good luck.
I don't mind. Actually, I told Tyler I'm in the mood today to just kind of just name drop and just talk bad about some people just for shits and giggles.
Let's stir up the pot.
Yes.
Let's stir up the pot, baby.
But we'll start off with some news. We'll start light.
Again,
we know how much you people in... Oh, not new people. Let me not say that. That sounded pretty bad.
What do you mean,
bad.
You people?
Yeah, that sounded pretty bad. We know how much Canadians or Canadian fans, CFL fans, don't like the AAF. We know it poses a threat.
Absolutely.
But it seems like all the negative news that comes out about the AAF, people in Canada are so quick to just hop on it and just eat it up. So let's talk about that. Let's talk about the fact that the new majority owner of the AAF, Mr. I don't even know how to say his name, Dundon. Yeah, Mr. Dundon, the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes. Is that the NHL team?
Is it Carolina's?
I think it's Carolina Hurricanes. I might be wrong. I'm not a hockey fan.
I'm not a hockey guy. I like hockey a lot. I don't watch it, though.
I don't like hockey at all. Never watched it.
I love going to the games.
Never skated on ice. Don't care much for
it. I grew up a Flames fan, but I couldn't tell you a single Flames player.
Yeah. Well, I mean, your dad's from Calgary.
That's why. So I got the Canadian blood running through. Yeah. So I appreciate and I enjoy hockey. It's just, I didn't really watch sports that much growing up anyway, but like...
Terrible to watch.
I disagree. Watching on TV...
No, let me not say that.
I like watching playoff hockey on TV, but live, I like watching hockey.
I have no clue what I'd be watching.
I went to a couple Montreal Canadiens games last year.
Yeah.
One of my really close friends gave me their, like, season tickets for a couple... Two games.
Right.
Unbelievable. The stadium was, it was like a regular, super regular game. Stadium was packed. They were down 6-1 in the stadium. Like, nobody left. It was awesome. It was a great experience. I loved it.
But, yeah, but back to what I was talking about.
Damn it. Off topic fine again, man. Yes. Like, it's getting low.
Back to what I was talking about. We was talking about the fact that Mr. Dundon, he is, so here's the thing. The AAF had a plan. Now, everybody knows... What was attracting the players was the three-year contracts for the high amounts of USD. So, broken down, three-year deal, the whole value was $250,000, got broken down to 70, 80, and I think
Nine,
one.
100, 100.
100
yep.
last
math.
Year.
That's math, yep.
Yeah. So, the AF's original plan was first 2 years, be its own entity, be its own league.
Yeah.
Build its brand, build its name, get people excited. In the third year, hopefully be so popular... That the NFL decides to absorb it and make it a part of the Shield.
Yeah.
So, the new majority, I guess the original investor into the league, decided to pull away. Because the original investor, people don't know, was actually recommended by NFL executives to the people who created the AAF to go for this guy.
Okay.
Because he was trying to buy an NFL team.
Yeah.
And I guess he was unsuccessful. So they said, hey, go to him. He has the money. He's in the football. He wants to own the football. Why don't you get him to invest in your league? He can own a whole football league.
Yeah,
so
imagine having the money where you can just own a whole football league. Anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah.
So they went to him. He was down with it. I think he originally invested $150 million from the jump.
Yeah, I think you're right.
And then he decided at some point, as the things got rolling and things got started, he decided he didn't want to be a part of it anymore, kind of backed away. So what people don't understand is when these big money guys say they're investing such and such in the league, it's not like they just take that money and give it to them. It comes in like increments over time. They're basically funding the league. It's like having your boss at a whatever job, small mom and pop job, the owner, you work for the owner, they pay you from profits, yada, 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 such and so forth. If you understand business, you know what I'm talking about. Again. So the original investor backed out. They found Mr. Dundon. Mr. Dundon decided to pledge $250 million to it. It helped them make payroll for the first couple of weeks. That was big news. Everybody was so happy.
Nobody's getting paid at first.
So now he, Mr. Dundon got a hold of the plan, heard about the whole, get the NFLPA, NFL, to get us to loan us. The point was to loan practice roster and bottom roster players to the AAF. Basically make it like a farm league.
Exactly.
Kind of how the NBA uses the G League, how MLB uses AA and AAA
For the guys that like are filling practice squads and you know, they're mainly practice guys to get some game time reps, because nothing prepares you for football like playing in the game and gives you the experience that you can get from playing in games.
Yeah.
And that's a huge drawback from the NFL, because like it's hard to get developmental type guys that could possibly make it if they had another couple of years.
Yeah.
That's why the league is so lucrative. And that's why it's important. But again,
football's a different sport.
Yeah.
It's easy to do that for baseball. It's easy to do that for basketball.
Exactly.
Football's kind of hard for you to do that. Because you got to understand, if you understand NFL timetables and how it works, if you start committing those type of players to the AAF, you know, it's you're basically asking guys to play football year-round.
Almost.
Talk about practices, like...
Yeah.
Working
even
out,
though, even though they're only
for doing an entire
practices,
year,
practices are hard, man.
They probably only get maybe a month off,
of
off time, through 365 days.
Yeah, that month
of playing the most violent, vigorous game there is.
Yep, hardest on your body for sure.
Even hardest like, sport
beyond,
on your body.
Beyond the contact alone, just like driving guys, like the amount, the cuts, like the amount of wear and tear on your joints is just atrocious.
It's atrocious.
Especially when
we had this talk the last episode about the NFL exec who was going off on NCAA about how they basically it's a meat factory. They beat they beat the guys up and then send them to the NFL in the worst shape possible and hope.
And they make a bunch of profit off it the whole time. Yep.
That's all it is. But again, Mr. Dundon has threatened to fold the league now before the first year even concludes, threatening to fold the league because the NFLPA doesn't want to be want to you know, absorb it or be a part of it. It makes no sense.
I heard they had a deadline to sign, basically sign the agreement that they were going to absorb it after a couple seasons, and that deadline passed this weekend, and they didn't sign it.
They're not going to.
They're not going to. And the reason it was because they're worried about it messing up their rosters with guys getting hurt in the AAF. And so that's the reason that they posed. I don't know if that could, I mean, maybe it's not, that might not even be the real reason. That might just be the reason that they brought to the table why they're not going to sign. Because in my opinion, man, like when you have practice squad guys that aren't getting shots to play and you give them an opportunity to go out on the field and make plays in game, that is valuable. And those guys are going to want to do it. Even though they're going through an extra 3 months of wear and tear, they're getting it. They're doubling their salary in that given year. They're doubling their salary. So it's a grind, but I think guys are willing to do it. I mean, obviously,
but
guys,
you're doubling your salary for triple the work.
Not still, triple, not even close.
It is
now because they got.
You know what it's like to be on practice squad in NFL? I've been there.
I've watched it.
It's a meat grinder.
Absolutely.
Listen, I used to come to practice. I used to do the same, do warm up and everything.
Yeah.
I used to have to hold the bag for everybody.
Yep.
Do all the individual work. Then after that, go to the team period, do scout team, scout offense, come back, hold the bag again some more and get beat up on. Basically, I was a human punching bag.
You were, yeah, that's practice squad.
That's practice squad. That's you're a human squad. Punching bag.
You're,
you do all the scout team looks bag. For special teams. You do all the scout team looks for, I was doing scout team looks for offense, defense, special teams, and I was having to hold the bag
for all the drills,
for all the individual drills.
Yeah.
I was the dummy.
Your grinder.
He wouldn't even let any of the other practice squads hold, one or two other guys that was there with me, or the other bottom roster guys, Only person that was allowed to hold a bag was me.
Well, that's because you're a big body. You're hard to wrench out. You're good to train on.
Bullshit.
You're hard to wrench out of the trenches.
No, man.
That coach fucking hated you.
Bro.
Yeah, coach hated you.
Bro. But that's how a lot of teams in the league, that's how they treat practice squad guys. He hated me. He did hate me.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's the reason why I'm not in the league. That dude pretty much, like, it was his mission to kill it.
If you have someone that does not, like, if you make a bad impression on one coach, that could be it, dude.
Bruh.
Because they'll talk. They'll talk to the rest of the coaches.
Again, I don't, this, here's my thing. I think the biggest thing the PA is worried about is that the higher ups, the NFL execs, they will abuse that power. Mm-hmm. Think about, I was trying to talk about this before we started recording. I had a buddy, my best friend, Brian Sanford, played 4 years in the NFL. His second or third year, he had just finished preseason with Cleveland. Cleveland cut him. He got claimed off of waivers, off the waiver wire by the Oakland Raiders. He goes to Oakland. He's on active roster for the first 3 weeks. They side week four. They don't want him active roster no more. They release him, sign him to the practice squad. He was on practice squad for a couple weeks, moved him back up to active roster. Let him play like a game or two. For the last 8 to 9 weeks of this season, or I want to say somewhere between like 8-9 weeks.
Yeah.
They literally would have this man on active roster all week because he was a vet. He had some game reps under his belt even before he played there. He played in Cleveland. So he had game reps. He was a vet. But he was a young vet. Didn't have the amount of play time as some other major vets.
Yeah.
But what the team would do, the NFL, what the Raiders would do at the time, they would have him practice all week, have him on active roster. The day before the game, cut him. Play the game. That next Monday, re-sign him. They did that for at least 2.5-3 months.
So what'd that mean for him?
Bro, you know how, like, when you get released, so he got paid. He was getting, like, it was basically like their way of keeping him around, but not paying him the full game checks.
Dude, that's why I wanted you to explain. That's why I said, what did that mean for him?
Yes.
Because what you don't understand is you really don't get paid unless you make it through the game.
Yes.
You don't. You don't get your game check.
Because if you're not on the game day roster, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. That's why when I joined the Montreal Alouettes during game 6, I don't get any of my salary from before that, which that makes sense because I'm not there. I'm not working. Bro. But, like, in order, like, to lay, basically you're laying somebody off, oh, we can't pay you this week, start Monday. All right, we can't pay you this week, start Monday. We can't pay you this week, start Monday. Week after week after week.
Week after week after week.
Dude, that's sickening.
Sickening. And that's the type of guy that an NFL exec would be like, oh, okay, well, we don't have to do this. Just be like, oh, have him with the team, practice all week, and on Friday go, hey, we're going to send you to Salt Lake City to go play with the Stallions for this game. Go play, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, bro.
Or, you like, know, it was like something dumb.
Like, we don't need to pay you this season because you're going to make your money. Yeah. You're going to make your money.
Or telling the guy, like, hey, we're going to send you to play in AAF, but, you know, we're going to save roster for you to come and train again and compete for a spot. It's not real.
No.
No. And all they're doing is just abusing guys.
You can't listen to promises made like that.
No.
You cannot. Not
That's
from,
why
not
the PA doesn't want to get along with
exactly,
it.
Exactly, because they don't. Execs don't care about players. They really don't. Like,
no.
And they only care about the players that are putting money directly in their pockets that they see the most. You know, like the Odell Beckhams, the Aaron Rodgers, the
big
Tom
time
Brands,
guys,
the big time guys,
the
JJ
small
Watts.
5% of guys that everybody thinks
exactly five.
Everybody
like, yeah.
NFL live like
exactly. It's literally like what people don't understand is when you're in an NFL locker room. There's really only on a 46-man or 53-man roster where 7 of those guys don't dress out. So really, it's a 46-man roster. Of those 46 people dressing for every game, among those 46, only like 5, maybe, are safe.
Yeah.
And like safe is still kind of relative because like they get traded or whatever.
Nah,
but like
only person that would probably be safe
is like the quarterback. Like the
you gotta
the star
be like
receiver.
Franchise.
Exactly. You have to be the star quarterback, the star receiver.
Yeah. Franchise guys are sick.
Exactly. Like one.
Everyone
maybe
else
one,
is up for grabs.
One or two. If you're getting paid, you're safe. If you're getting paid over 50 mil, over your contract, you're safe.
I don't know. I'm starting to realize that the higher paid guys are actually the ones who are not as safe.
That's the other side of the fence. Is that's true. Like you can be overpaid and a system could be like let's say there's a coaching change. Let's say your head coach gets fired. Adam Snyder, the guy that I am training high school linemen with out here in Arizona, with his company Vital, was telling me how when he was on the Cardinals, which is towards the end of his NFL career, he played 10 years in the league, Pro Bowl like 2 years. He said he was signed for like some, I think it was something like a $5 million, 5.1 contract over like 3 years maybe.
Yeah.
Or 15 over 3 years. And he served one of those years under Wisenhunt, Wisenhunt's last year at the Cardinals. And as soon as Wisenhunt got fired, they basically looked at Snyder's contract and were like, we're not willing to pay you that. See ya. All right, see you later. We're going to trade you. Or, you know, I don't remember exactly what happened, but, like, they got rid of him.
Yeah.
And it's because his contract was too big for the – he was overvalued in the new coaching staff size.
Yeah.
So, like, that can happen, too. You're right.
Yeah, that can happen. It's very possible.
Yeah. I just always look at it being always, like, the guy that was in the bottom of the barrel in the NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because I was undrafted.
Yeah.
Always saw it, like, if you're paid less, you get less opportunities. People kind of avoid you. Like, you know, staff doesn't really want to get to know you as much because they know likely you're not going to be around if you're an undrafted guy. And it's weird, man. So, like, I always noticed that big difference. There's only, like, a few guys in the locker room that are truly safe for that season.
Man, I mean, I guess my view of the whole monster is a little different because I've kind of just seen it. I've been around numerous amounts of places, and I guess for me, establishing myself in the CFL, I kind of see it from both ends of the spectrum because the reason why I was cut from SAS was because the reason was because I was one of the higher priced guys in the league and they just weren't willing to pay that price for that position anymore.
Yeah.
Which is, you would think, why would you not want to keep around a top tier talent?
Yeah, especially a tackle.
Just because it's costing you because you don't want to pay that price for it.
A losing team. That's losing team mentality. That's why, like, but some people get away with it.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, teams Patriots, think like that.
Patriots get away with that a lot, and they have success because they're able to find guys that fit their scheme.
Well, that's
so
the
well.
Other end of the spectrum.
Exactly.
See, this Patriots have the system where they're just churning the butter. It's just it's so much cheap talent out there. We just got to keep finding it and keep recycling it.
Yeah, you're
so
right.
So that way we don't have to worry about, because that's the Patriots' whole system is. Come here.
Watch the Browns fail.
Yeah.
Figure out who is actually good on the team. Find them for cheap and pick them up.
But that's what I'm saying. They do that with every team in the league.
They do.
Teams get rid of their good players because, all right, we're overvaluing this guy. We don't want to pay him this. Cut him. Everybody else is like, well, if they're not going to pay you, we're not going to pay you. And the Patriots go, come over here. Let me show you something.
Come here, baby.
Let me get you back to where you want to be.
Sweet.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Or the Patriots go and find the guys in college that no one is even thinking about.
Yeah, but they're just the heart.
Sign
the
them as a
guys.
UDFA.
Yeah.
Give them a nice little chunk of money. Bring them there. Put them on practice squad for a year or two. Let them learn the system.
Yep.
And then year three, okay, this guy that was on practice squad the 2 years before you got here that was playing, he was on minimum. He's balling. Now he's looking at us for more money. No. We have so-and-so here that we've been grooming to take your spot.
Exactly.
So go get your money from somewhere else. Take that guy. Insert him. Boom. Now they got the same type of talent, same price, different guy for another 2 years. So they just finessed 4 or 5 years out of that position of playing minimum.
I know. Bringing it back to the AAF, too. It's like a team like the Patriots would benefit so much from the AAF sticking around. I feel like their scouts I feel like their scouts would be so good at finding
the guys that are good
talent out of the AAF and signing them.
But I think the AAF. I think Mr. Dundon is just getting way too ahead of himself, and I think he's making a mistake of comparing football to baseball and basketball and all other sports.
Yeah,
you can't put that same structure on the game of football because it's a different animal.
Absolutely.
And I think he's looking at it, thinking he could possibly get it to that point, and it could never get that way just because of the mentality of the game and the way that it's structured. NCAA is already pumping out thousands upon thousands of talent to pick from for the low, unless you're the small 250 who get drafted, and only if you're not even 250, if you're the small one, 120 like that
two,
goes in the first
232 or something like that. Yeah. Oh, but you're talking about the guys.
I'm talking about the first two or three rounds.
Yeah, because those are the only rounds that you're. Those like, are the only rounds that really that first year.
And those guys get 2 or 3 years max to figure it out. And if they don't figure it out,
it's
boom.
The top three rounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But get, the top three rounds are the guys who are the guys who get a chance for the low to show that what they can do.
Yeah, because that is the low if you compare them to like the high play.
But that's what happened in the last CBA. Vets were complaining about. Jamarcus Russell
getting 90, messed it up. Like $90 million coming out the gate, bat, and then he and showed just, up like 60 pounds overweight,
and just
never
washed out, and just washed out.
Absolutely, and I heard he's broke now too, which is sad.
Which is understandable,
believable, but sad.
A lot of them go. Vince Young was broke, and he ended up coming to CFL for a hot second. And
couldn't hang. Like, he was not a CFL quarterback.
No,
sir.
I was there with him.
Were you?
Great guy.
Really?
That's couldn't good hang. To
hear. Couldn't hang though.
Couldn't get it.
What was it? You think?
Again, like I said, like
and for
I've
those
stated
that don't
before,
know, Vince Young was a quarterback from Texas, and
the guy,
one of the best football championship.
He probably beat the greatest team in college football for a national championship.
Yeah, he did. The
Reggie
Trojans,
Bush,
Matt Leinart. My God. Oh, what's his
Cushing.
Name? Cushing. Yeah, Brian Cushing.
Taylor Mays.
Yep. What was the other line?
Clay Matthews.
Thank you, Clay Matthews. That was the other one. God.
Dogs.
Damn. Just Hall of Famers.
Dogs.
In the NFL on that team.
Oh. I think their defense had at least 9 NFL players on it.
Let me tell you something about that. Like, this is an off-topic fine, and it's going to be an embarrassing D-line fine. Preemptive. I'm going to throw it preemptively in the pot. Because let me tell you something about that USC team. I remember I think it was like when I was in 7th grade was that year. Championship, 7th or 8th grade. And Sports Illustrated came out, and it was just a picture of Clay Matthews and Brian Cushing back-to-back, shoulder pads, shirtless.
Juiced up.
Just juiced up, dude.
You
these
can tell
dudes,
they were juiced.
Oh, absolute. Not even. Brian Cushing has been on. Like,
Cushing's from New Jersey, so
exactly.
I knew about him when he was in high school.
Dude, that dude has been on the juice. He's been caught for juicing like 3 times or something.
He went from his high school sophomore. I think he was a $150, $160. The next year, he came back. He was 220.
Right? Yoked. Out of his mind.
Yoked.
Veins popping
not
out
even,
of his forehead.
Not even a bad 220. Like,
nah,
he looked even like, better than he did when he was 160.
He had veins popping out of his
and
forehead.
And he was just ripped.
Yeah, absolutely. So I saw that Sports Illustrated, and I was like, and I remembered that. And like when I started playing O-line, I was like, when I get to Oregon, I'm going to be on that Sports Illustrated with somebody else just yoked. Just that yoked O-lineman. And I was so juiced about it. That was like my goal when I was at Oregon. And it didn't happen.
That's how it goes.
So that was yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That man, Vince Young, though, was
but
huge.
Vince, so good. Listen, he's a cool dude. He was super
That's
cool.
Good.
He was super nice. I liked him. But you can tell I think it was the same things that plagued Johnny Manziel.
Yeah.
I know people hate hearing about Johnny Manziel, but and even after his little when he got to AAF, he kind of threw the CFL under the bus. But it was known. I tweeted this, I even said it. Johnny's downfall, and I think what was Vince's downfall, was the mentality of them coming up to the CFL.
Yeah.
I think they just thought that, you know, I'm a college football great. I played in the NFL. I started in the NFL. What possibly could I see in this league that I haven't seen before that I can't handle? And it's
like,
just...
I'm going to just go up here, walk
all
over
it. It's a different game.
It
can't, like,
it's a you have to study just as
that's
hard.
What the Canadian football means to me. It's the rules. It's the feel.
I agree.
It's the yard of the ball. It's the format of the game that makes it... It's not light years different, but those small nuances make it such a harder game to learn for Americans.
Yeah, it does. And not only for Americans, but like... Especially, I can't imagine what the difference is like. Because it's different as a tackle when you got a guy yard off and there's like, you know, there's different numbers on the field, whatever. But for a quarterback...
Now you're accounting for an extra defender that you're not used to seeing?
You only have 3 downs to work with?
Blitzes in the CFL are way different because you can send 8, 7, 8 and still cover everybody.
Yeah, dude. And that and like... The situation, like situational awareness, completely changes, and the quarterbacks have to be in charge of the situational awareness. As in, like, is it second and short? Is it second and long? Is it first and short after a penalty? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's different. And like that's the reason I got hurt that first game is because I was like, oh, it's second down. Like this, it's fine. Like, you know what I mean? I'm it's inside zone, second down. Like he's gonna think it's a pass. All this, that, and the other, and then he was right in my chest because I forgot. Of course, he knows it's a run. It's second and like three, and we have to get the first down. Of course, he knows it's going to be a run. It's second and two, and so like I was a keyed in, and it's because it's different. The four down to three down was a big adjustment.
That's a big adjustment. People don't realize.
It got me hurt.
Yes,
because I wasn't ready for that.
I think that's what hurts your team, Montreal, is that your coaches, they're used to coaching the four down game.
Yeah,
and it's the three down game is coached completely different. That's why I think.
The strategy changes.
What fails a lot of American coaches when they come to the CFL.
Agreed.
Is that those new your game planning is different up here because you don't have that extra down to work with. You don't realize that you could punt the ball out the end zone and score a point and win the game.
Exactly.
You gotta account for that type of stuff in your game planning.
Exactly. It's like, yo, you don't gotta get in field goal range. You just gotta now get in range for your punter to kick it out of the back of the end
zone. You got blitzes now where they can send four D linemen can rush, a linebacker come, and they can send the corner and the halfback.
I honestly, like, I could never be a head coach because it's too much knowledge of the game. And, like, I learn more about the game every day I play.
It's different, though.
And I'm not a quarterback, but, like, going from the American game as a coach to the Canadian game, tough transition, man.
It's a much harder transition than it's like learning the Canadian game and making that transition to America.
So like imagine playing, the biggest difference is, again, those little rule changes we're talking about. So imagine playing chess, like you play chess all your life. And then you go up to you go to a different chess tournament that you've never played before, and all of a sudden they don't play with, you know, bishops, and they only have like six pawns, and then you're like only allowed to do moves like sometimes. You know, like just the rule of chess.
The board is much bigger than you're used to playing.
There's more pieces even. Yeah, exactly. There's more things you have to account for. And like,
it's hard.
It's difficult.
That's hard.
You have to completely change your strategy. Even if you're a genius in one strategy and then the strategy has to change. Canadian
fans should appreciate the American guys that come up here and are stars.
Yeah.
Because, bro, that's not easy.
It's not easy. It's not at all. If you watch the film, like if there's a film, a camera running during commercial breaks and stuff, that first game I played, your boy was so lost. I've said this like three times in this podcast, bro. Like there was one play I walked like the length of the field.
I was two my first year. I'm not going to lie.
Goodness gracious, I was so
lost. It took
me
until about midway into my second year that I understand what was going on in the CFL.
Yeah, and again, I played well. I always knew what I was doing on plays. That's not the thing. But like situationally, I was fairly lost. I will admit. I will admit.
Man.
But speaking of CFL differences, there's a little... So...
I want to talk about the CFL combine.
We need to talk about it, guys.
Because,
Guys...
There was a lot of reports.
We need to talk about it.
A fan asked me if we would watch the CFL combine and kind of critique the players that we thought were good and weren't. And I heard the CFL trying to tote that a lot of people tune into the Facebook Live to watch all the events and such, but... I mean, let's be real. I'm going to start. Listen, this is where the under the bus part comes into the show. Because I'm going to just.
He's putting two right away.
Right away. Under the bus.
One.
I've been kind of scared to put my take on Canadian talent because I don't want to disrespect the few guys that I do think are good players.
Because there are outliers. There are good Canadian players. Yeah.
But the majority. Bro, listen. Here's how bad. Here's my view of Canadian talent, Canadian football talent. And again, no disrespect to the guys that I know that play that are good, and I have no problem telling that. But for the most, listen, it was so bad that I thought every white guy in the CFL was automatically Canadian. I thought John Chick was Canadian.
That's so bad.
I thought Weston Dressler was Canadian.
Oh, my God.
I thought Luke Tasker was Canadian.
Dylan Wynn. No, no.
I thought, like,
Dylan Wynn looks, he could pass as being Canadian, but he's not. Dylan Wynn.
Yeah, I thought Dylan Wynn was, too.
Yeah.
I thought he was Canadian.
Yeah. And not saying, like, he's not talented, because he's a good player. He's a good player. I'm just saying.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Yeah, but he's one that you think would be Canadian, yeah.
Not to sound, it sounds bad, but not, I mean, but this is the truth. I thought every white player, even the good ones, I thought they were automatically Canadian.
Hey, Derek doesn't believe black people live in Canada.
But that's also the opposite side of it.
Yeah.
I thought every black guy was American. And then I realized some of the black guys were Canadian.
I'm not going to lie, same thing.
But then when I finally realized what black guys were Canadian, I can start to see the difference between the Canadians and the Americans.
What was the biggest difference, you think?
And
for those listening too, I refuse to hear. Thank you. I will never say just straight up U.S. players better than Canadian players.
No, you can't, because some of them are not.
You can never say
there that. There are some U.S. guys that come up and I'm like, man.
This is not an ultimatum thing.
That guy's not good.
This is an ultimatum thing. We're just saying.
But, like, that's how ignorant I was when I first came here. Exactly. It's a little different now.
I'm just talking about
when I first came up here, how ignorant my mindset was as an American when I first came up to this league.
Well, that's the thing, too. When you get into a new locker room, you're looking around. The first thing you do, you look around. Who's around? You know what I mean? Like, where's everybody from? You're trying to figure everybody out. You're trying to figure out personalities. And, like, you're trying to figure out who you are. Yeah. That's one of the things. Like, who in here is Canadian? Who's from the U.S.? Not like it's a big deal or anything, but it is hard. I was wrong a lot.
Yeah.
I was wrong a lot.
A lot. A lot.
Exactly. And I assumed most of the black players were Americans.
And then when I found out the ones who were Canadian,
they're all from Ontario.
They all have the same accent,
man.
They had that Drake accent.
Almost like Jamaican.
It's like nice Jamaican, like
Jamaica, oh, fam.
More to on your head top. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Shit, like,
not like hard Jamaican. It's like
it's not like Jamaicans.
No, it's like the way I see the West Coast or like the West side of Canada.
It's like Americanized Jamaican.
It's like Alberta. I feel like all my relatives. I always say they have like a very unharsh Scottish accent. Like Canadian accents sound like so slightly Scottish to me, like just barely.
Yeah.
Like as if you had somebody that was like born Scottish and they moved to the States when they were 9, and when they get drunk, when they're 40, their Scottish accent comes out. That's what Canadians sound like to me. Yeah. So like it's the same way with like black people from Toronto with like Jamaican accent. It's like a softer, like you're like, what is that accent? I can always tell when somebody's from Toronto. When a black dude specifically is from Toronto. I can.
They all talk the same, though. We have several on our team, and they talk the same.
Like my guy, Malcolm, so wide receiver, number 88 for us.
Oh.
100%, bro. Like the hang earrings, too. They have dangly earrings.
Oh, I don't know.
One dangly cross earring, one earring.
Oh, that's a super fad across, like, even in the States.
Not as heavy as in Canada.
It's just a fad right now for like black culture in general. But you don't.
Embarrassing the O-line, fine. I didn't know that.
It's okay though.
Unbelievable.
But that's not your realm, so I wouldn't expect you to know that. But
that's hilarious.
Back to the combine. That was off topic.
And just so you know, I dug off topic tokens back out of the bucket and replaced them. We're almost out.
But listen, man, when you look at the numbers at the Canadian combine, I think the fastest 40 was 4.54.
If it was 4.54, man. I think it was a little slower.
No, it was 4.54. It was 4.54.
Okay.
That was the fastest time.
That's not
4.54. Again, this is laser time on turf.
Okay, yeah. So it's like NFL combine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I know they do drills and pads in the CFL Combine. I was almost going to do it.
I like that.
I do, too.
I like that aspect.
But they don't, okay, so this is.
But someone did bring the knock against it that some guys are scared to do it because they don't want to get hurt and hurt their draft stock. Yeah, I can see that.
I can see that, too. Like,
I never thought of it that way.
And also, what I think is really stupid, and again, you can correct me if I'm wrong, they do one-on-ones as O-line, D-line.
Receiver-DB one-on-ones.
Let me tell you why, but they do O-line, D-line, don't they?
Yeah, they do. Yeah. Everybody does one-on-ones.
Yeah, so let me tell you why that's stupid. As an O-lineman. So, people get so horny when they see a one-on-one,
a football term.
They do. Like, reporters and scouts and everything, they see somebody lining up for a one-on-one, they're like, oh yeah, baby, this is going to show us who's good, right?
Yeah.
One-on-one is a biased drill. No, it is.
Not for O-line, D-line.
When it comes to wide receivers and DBs, it's a wide receiver drill. Yeah, when it comes to O-line, D-line, it is a D-line drill.
Yeah.
Meaning, the D-line knows it's a pass, so they're going to rush, which is always an advantage the O-line has in game.
Uh-huh.
They have that. Only advantage you have is cadence,
yeah.
So the snap count.
Yeah.
Cool, that's it. Other than that, nobody else has taken their sets, so the gaps are way bigger, so they can take different moves than they would in real live football.
Very true.
So, like, it is a much easier thing for a D lineman to win than an O lineman. So when an O lineman wins, it's a big deal. When a D lineman wins, honestly, they should be winning every rep. And unless they're going against me. But they should be going against every rep. And let me tell you, if you lose, let's say you go to the CFL Combine and you are a dog. Like you have no sacks on the season.
Yeah.
You lose whatever reps you get on the one on ones because you're terrible at one on ones. That's gonna hurt, dude. That's gonna hurt you.
It's gonna hurt the draft stuff.
Because scouts are told not, like, I remember going when I was on the Chargers and they were telling us, like, okay, work your technique, don't worry about the scouts and stuff like that on these one on ones. And I was getting dogged on these one on ones, so I was trying like different techniques and stuff.
Yeah.
I was getting dogged and like, dude, that doesn't look good.
No.
Because like the scouts don't know O line, D line play like you do because you play it.
So
they get so horny over the one-on-one drills, not realizing that that's not real football.
They think that's a way to critique old D-line.
No, not at all. I am good at one-on-ones, but there's guys that aren't that are good football players. Kyle Long never won a one-on-one when he was at Oregon that one season. He's 0 for 100. It was my favorite part of practice because he would trip out.
When he first got to the Bears, he didn't seem very strong in one-on-ones.
He is the worst I've ever seen of good players in one-on-ones. But I've in never a team seen setting, him win.
He's a dog.
He's a dog. I mean, he was a first-round draft pick, and then he got a $40 million contract, 30 guaranteed for his second contract. He's fine.
Yeah.
He's a dog.
Yeah.
But he sucks at one-on-ones. But scouts take one-on-ones seriously.
Yeah, they do. They
so,
do.
Like, that, I think one-on-ones are stupid in a combine setting.
I see what you're saying there. I see what you're saying there. Honestly,
they're good for practice.
They're great for practice.
But like, I think one-on-ones are great for practice and great for honing in your technique. But they shouldn't be looked at as, okay, this guy's great or this guy's bad.
Yeah.
I mean, you can tell when somebody's really bad on a one-on-one too. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is, like, if you lose, it shouldn't be like the end-all, be-all.
Yeah.
For a lot of scouts and reporters, I feel like it is.
I see from both sides of it. I actually like that aspect of the CFL Combine. I kind of feel like it's something the NFL should adopt, but I know they're not going to. They're never going to.
Never going to.
They love the underwear Olympics way too much.
They love underwear, bro.
They love the underwear. Underwear tells them who's going to be good football players or not, and 8 times out of 10, they always get it wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Always. That's why most NFL rosters, if you pay attention, are made up of undrafted guys or low-round draft picks.
Yeah.
Because those are the guys who are really the ballers. The early round picks is all the guys who they look nice and pretty in underwear and t-shirts. Well, you put them boys in some pads. I feel like pads it's in the game of football,
and
pads
it's the biggest
is,
with O and D line.
Pads shows the men
round.
From the boys.
Exactly.
It shows your physicality, which is the biggest trait I think you should have as a football player.
Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely.
So regardless of technique and how they look athletically and all that, I think the biggest thing that you should take, and I heard this from BC Lions O-line coach, Brian Chu.
Okay.
He said, the biggest thing that I take away from watching one-on-ones is this is just the time to see the heart of the player. Like, if the guy can compete, if he's willing to, if he loses a rep, if he's willing to bounce back and compete for the next rep to try to win it. Is he out there trying to, you know, is he out there just showing his heart? That's it.
Exactly, man. It's
can he move his feet? Does he have heart?
Is he willing to compete? Is he not going to shy down from, like,
yeah.
Is he not going to shy away from a competition?
Yeah. One-on-ones does show how well an offensive lineman's feet are.
Yeah,
I think
that's true.
I think that's the biggest thing from one-on-ones.
And their
it
patience.
Just shows
and
their
patience
and feet.
Yeah.
But again, also, too, at some point, when you put the pads on, it just gives you a chance to hit something and show how aggressive you are. And I think my personal opinion, when I look at Canadian players compared to American players, I think that's the biggest difference, is the mentality when it comes to physicality.
You hit the nail on the head.
That's the difference between Canadians and Americans.
Yep.
It's the mentality when it comes to physicality. I should trademark that. That sounds pretty fire.
I like that.
The mentality when it comes to physicality.
Exactly.
That's the difference
between your mentality about
American and Canadian.
It is.
There are very few Canadian guys who are willing to really put their body on the line and romp some shit.
Yeah, and I'm not saying, like there's some Canadian dudes that are...
There are guys who can do it.
No, I'm saying, like there's some Smash Mouth guys, but, like...
It's not consistent as Americans.
Exactly, and there's not a lot of... and this is kind of a cliche as well, but there are not a lot of angry Canadian players. No. That just play angry.
No.
And that's like, for me, like, I cannot be physical unless I'm angry. That's why I'm such a shit talker. Because I have to get the other person to talk, like, to do something to me in order to get, like, angry to play to, like, that next. Because I'll play well. But then, in order to, like, do the shit I know is, like, exceptional, I have to be mad. Because I have to hate that guy.
Yeah.
Because it's such a physical game, and I feel like I'm such a nice guy off the field. It's hard for me to, like, just fuck somebody up. But, like, but I know that going in.
Yeah.
And so I talk shit until they get mad, and then they're going to make me mad, and then it's just over after that point. And so, like, I have to work on building my anger during the first couple series.
See, it's opposite for me. I feel like I got that killer instinct in me to just turn it on myself. Like, I don't need...
Wow, that's a self-sec. Come on, bro. I got a killer instinct. That's a self-sec.
I do, though.
But I feel you. But, I do feel you. Still me, a self-sec.
For me, though, you. It's like, yeah. I can't do the back and forth talking smack. Like, I don't do that.
Yeah,
I'm the quietest guy on the football field.
Oh, I'm the.
But I'm going to let you feel. I'm going to let you feel it more than I'm going to tell you you're going to feel it.
Well, that's the thing. See, about me, you said there's a lot of back and forth. Me, I don't let you get a word in edgewise. It's like part of my mental game, too, is to talk shit for so long that you start getting tired and you start thinking in your head, like, I wish this guy would shut the fuck up because I can't say anything back because I'm too tired.
Yeah, I hate guys like that.
That's exactly. Guys like that. I hate playing guys like that, too, because I've played some that are just like me. And I hate Alex Singleton, one of those guys.
And
that's the thing, though, is, like, we talked so much shit to each other the game we played. But, like, we also understood that this is the way we are, and we were boys through the game, but at the same time we were gonna keep talking shit
because
you hate to play that guy, but you love to have that guy on your team.
See me, I'm the quiet assassin, man.
I'm not gonna say nothing. I have to be talking shit to play well. I got it.
If I start talking shit, then that means really, like, in my head I feel like I got your heart. Once I feel like mentally I got your heart, I'm gonna test you silent. So the first couple plays I'm gonna see where your heart is.
Yeah.
And then once you show me where it's at, then that's when I'm like, oh, yeah. If I pancake you, I'm going to be like, pussy-ass bitch.
Yeah. That's the thing. I'm always going to be, like, I agree with you, though. Like, I don't come out of the gate talking shit because, like, I need to set my pads. Every game, I need to set my pads at first play, second play.
Yeah.
By the end of the first series,
nah,
I'm starting.
Yo, I think the way we train in college made me that way because
absolutely.
Before every game, we used to do two-spot. You know what two-spot is?
No.
So two spot is basically, mano y mano, head up. Y'all gotta go head up and
drive each other out of the hole
and drive each other out of the way. We call it two spot.
Okay, it's like an Oklahoma drill.
It's like Oklahoma minus the runner.
Yeah, one on one. Runner.
Yeah, it's just head up, mano y mano, one on one. Who's gonna be the man and who's gonna be the little girl?
Yep.
And we used to warm up before games like that. We'd do stretch. Two spot.
Hype it up.
Let's go. Call out names.
That's crazy just because of the injury aspect, but, like, that nothing will hype you up like an Oklahoma drill or a two spot drill.
We were just a different team. Like, it didn't matter who we played. We played Penn State every year. Every time we played Penn State, they would always say, man, that's the most physical team we play all year. Like,
was you guys?
The physicality was just different.
Exactly, dude. And that's the thing.
We call that Temple tough, man. I think me being trained that way, I have a different eye when it comes to looking at what I want to see in a football player. Because to me is, all right, you can run that 4-4, but what's going to happen when you got to cross the middle and that safety got to lay you out? You going to catch that ball or not?
You still going to catch it?
Yeah.
When you know it's coming, you still going to catch it?
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah, you look
sweet. Do you have grit? Are you a dog?
Yeah, you got sweet feet running through the hole, but when that linebacker blitzed that A-gap, you're going to pick him up?
That's the definition of a dog. That's how you be a dog at receiver.
That's what I feel like separates people.
So, like one thing I always talk about when it comes to football, and it has everything to do with physicality and your mentality. The mentality of your physicality, as Derek put it.
The mentality of your physicality.
All summed up about are you a dog or are you not?
Yes.
Like, who's
when I just want to see who's a man.
When I talk about people, when I compliment somebody, the first thing, if I really, really like the way somebody plays, and I'll say somebody from Oregon, for example, he was a receiver, he didn't get the ball a lot, he knew he wasn't going to get the ball sometimes, and he would block his dude like 20 yards, pancake him, like, didn't matter if the ball wasn't coming his way, he'd run his route, he was like that receiver.
Yeah.
Dog, because he would dog everybody off the line. It didn't matter, dude. And so my first compliment, if I really like the play style and the physicality of somebody, is they're a dog.
Yeah.
Like, dude, like, dog.
Dog. I mean, listen.
And no, I don't know a lot of...
There's no angst against...
no, Canadian football players. I just don't know a lot of dogs. Man. I don't know a lot of dogs.
Also, going back to the combine, but even the international players, because we're doing the whole CFL 2.0 thing.
CFL 2.0.
And international players being incorporated and finding roster spots, that was a part of the whole ratio rule change and all that. All that intertwines together, people don't understand.
Yeah.
The ratio rule change news has to intertwine with the commissioner's initiative to get international players incorporated to the CFL.
Absolutely, because he's trying to find spots for international
and players. And they know that they're not going to limit the, let's be real, they're not going to limit the American talent. Let's just be real. Call a spade a spade. Americans are not going to lose spots.
No.
It's going to come from the Canadian side.
It will.
And that was the rule, because if it makes sense. Because not too far after that news, it was, drop the ratio to 5 starters and take those other 2 spots and again, give them to other internationals, not the American internationals.
And I can already hear the people commenting on this podcast saying, well, like, you never know, because there's good Canadians and, there could be good Germans. Yeah, there's going to be, like, a German and a French player and a player from another country that are going to make starting spots. There's going to be a couple but that's a couple over 9 teams of 56 players. 46 players. Yeah. Sorry. That is a small percentage. It just doesn't make sense. Like, so the ones that are going to lose a spot, so those 2 Canadians that they had to start.
We already know that America and Canada as well are 2 of the biggest American football playing countries.
They are the 2 biggest
in the world.
Absolutely.
So
what's the 3rd biggest? Is it Germany or is it France? Or
it's China.
Oh, it's China. You're right. It is like it is China. It is China, which is crazy.
Yeah, but that's because they have a bigger population.
Yeah.
But,
and they love white American culture there, too. You can be perfect. Did you know in China, off-topic fine real quick, because this is an interesting thing. This is very off-topic and very interesting. You can go to China as a white person and be a professional white person. I watched this entire documentary.
I don't even understand that.
Exactly. You can go there, because they are apparently, and again, this is based off of like 1 or 2 documentaries I've seen.
Yeah.
You can go to China as a white person. And they're so obsessed with Western culture and, like, light-skinnedness that they will, like, for example, they'll have, like, a big job fair, and they will hire you.
You just said light-skinned. That's not white, though.
No, I'm specifically talking about white, though. And because that's literally what these documentaries are about. And, like, they followed this one dude around, for example. This dude has, like, posed as, like, a doctor at, like, doctor conferences, and they just gave him, like, this sheet to read off of. And there's, like, a conference of all these Chinese doctors taking notes on everything this guy is saying. And this guy is like, he didn't even graduate college. And he's just like in a lab coat, like reading the stuff as a white dude. And they just like, yes, it must be. They got a white, like they basically got like this white Western doctor to come here. It must be a very big deal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like it's weird. That's and so crazy. I think part of the reason that they're
the advanced ones, though, that's the funny part.
Japan's more advanced than China.
Japan is.
Yeah.
I thought China was.
China, they have the population. It's just like the whole, and we don't have to get into that. It's way too off topic. Yeah, like, way too but off topic. Yeah, but like, but yeah, they can put their resources wherever they want because it's such like a communist weird state. But
back to the football.
But no, the reason I think they're the second biggest football country is because of like their obsession with Western culture.
Yeah, okay.
And so like that's why there's so many people that play it.
From what I'm reading about the international players at the combine, all their test numbers were either middle of the pack to way at the bottom.
Yeah, I believe it.
And we're talking about a combine where the fastest 40 was 4.54.
Which,
the most bench reps was like 31?
No. 31?
31 or 32?
Because I got 25 at my combine, and that's like just checking the box. Yeah. Like, not even, like, you wouldn't even call it average. You're just like, you know what? Yeah, he's strong enough.
Yeah. I did 28.
Yeah.
And I just...
I feel like you could do a lot more in 28 now.
Now?
Yeah.
Now I'm putting up 40.
Yeah, now I might get like...
40.
I'm getting between 25 and 30, but I'm not putting up anything more than that.
Nah. I could probably get 40 now.
But like, that's the thing. So the only 2 Chinese players I met was Calf and Bruce. Do you remember those 2 guys that came training with us at Fisher?
I weren't there.
We talked about this on another podcast. But like, they were a couple, quote-unquote, elite Chinese players in their league. And these guys were just, They were hard workers. Do not get me wrong. I will never disrespect these guys' work.
Yeah, but they're all bad.
But absolutely uncoachable.
Yeah.
And unbelievably unathletic.
I mean, because that's what I would expect.
They just weren't athletic. And you know, I don't know what it was. And dude, Bruce especially, and it's probably the language barrier more than anything, but he could speak pretty good English, and he was just uncoachable, dude.
He couldn't figure it out.
He was worried about like different stuff, like looking good when he ran, like not like running well.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like stuff like that.
Not just running. He just worried about how he looked while he ran.
Exactly. Like he wanted to see how his chain bounced and like stuff like that. So it was weird. But like that's the thing is those were two elite players in the second or the third biggest football playing country, and they would not make it in the CFL. They would not be better than Canadian players. Listen. They wouldn't.
Listen, I'm not gonna get in. But listen, honestly, you know, my thought after watching the combine is, I mean, let's keep it real. Canada, you guys don't put enough money in the grassroots. You guys don't pay enough attention to it. The culture for the game is just different. So, yes, there may be a few Canadian guys that are talented, but it's rare. It's very rare. It's not what it used to be. Not as easy as it was back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s.
Exactly. Honestly, like
70s.
And that's
it's a different animal now.
And on this podcast, we keep it 100% real how we see it. And as a player that counts as a Canadian, I want to ask Derek this, and because I know the answer, because I know the answer, and this is gonna piss some people off, but this just is what it is. This is why the ratio rule exists, Derek. If the ratio rule didn't exist, per team, how many Canadians do you think would start? If the ratio rule didn't exist.
If it didn't exist?
Per team, average.
Man.
Two?
I don't even know.
One? Two?
One, two, probably.
One, two, average. That's what I see as well.
Yeah, realistically? I mean...
Maybe three. But average, I would say two.
I mean, I don't know. Because here's my thing. There are very good Canadians that play the game.
Absolutely.
Again, don't get me wrong. But most of those kids end up going to play in the States. They go to...
Yes.
They go to NCAA school.
The best Canadian players do not play in the
States. Even the best guys in CIS. You saw it this year at the Combine.
Yep.
The DN from Laval, I don't know if I'm saying it right or wrong, but Laval, Matthew Betts, I think that's his name, he decided to skip the CFL Combine. His school has a pro day. NFL teams come to it, which is big in CIS.
Absolutely.
But I think they have their coaching staff is. I spent time with the O line coach, Coach Brendan. Shout out to you. The dude is like a sponge. He came to us, and even though he coached a lot of linemen that end up being starters in CFL or being high around draft picks, he was, you know, eating it up. And I remember like him looking at me and watching me play. Like, no, this sounds like a self suck. Yeah, but. Damn, always like giving me compliments about like how I looked as a player and like how it looked, and it was crazy to me. I'm just like, man, I love my Canadian teammates. I love them to death.
Yeah, that's the thing too. It's like
they're fun, man. The Canadian teammates,
they're the best. They're the best.
They do play hard
at all. Because like you do have that's
they do play hard.
Let me tell you,
I love them for that
exactly. And let me tell you again, as a devil's advocate, because I can play both sides because I'm American and Canadian. I will say, the Canadians have the best attitude in the locker room.
Yeah. Because
you do get...
For, like team morale?
Yeah, you get, like because, like, half of the American guys have been slighted by the NFL, they feel like, or they've left the NFL and they're trying to get back, and so they feel like the CFL is some kind of, like, annoyance that they have to deal with in order to get back to the league. And so you have, like, half the Americans in the locker room just bitching.
Yeah.
And that's true. That is my gripe against the American side of things in the CFL, and that's why.
Pretty much every American comes up here thinking I'm gonna play a year or two and go back to the NFL.
Yeah, well, it's because everybody wants to make more money, and that's where the money is. So it's like everybody wants to get to the league.
But that's where all the top talent in the world is gonna go first. It's gonna go to the NFL.
It's gonna go there first.
You're not gonna get the best of the best.
Nope.
Even the guys that went to the combine, the international guys, they weren't even going against the best Canadian prospects because a lot of them didn't even go.
No, the best Canadian prospects.
They're trying to go to the NFL.
They went to the NFL. And so they're putting up numbers that aren't even as good as, like, the guys that aren't the best.
Yeah, you're talking about, yeah. You're talking about being middle of the pack of
already the middle of the pack.
Yeah.
I won't say, I won't say middle of the pack, but, like, not the top, you're not in the top. Like, the top 10%, I would say, players did not go.
No.
Did not go to the combine.
Because a lot of the top Canadian talent are already in the NCAA. They're doing their pro days.
Yep.
They're not going to come to Canada and do the CFL draft. And on top of that, like, even though I like it, you're telling them, oh, I got to wear pads and compete with guys? No, I'm not trying to get hurt.
And that's the thing, too, is, like, even if that guy doesn't expect to get drafted by the NFL, and but he played at a major D1 U.S. college, NCAA college.
You know he's going to be a high draft pick.
Exactly. He's just going to go through his pro day and sit on those numbers. He's not going to go compete in a padded combine when he already has, like, decent numbers.
And the CFL has this cockamamie rule.
He's already going to get drafted. And where, tell us about the rule.
Yeah, this dumb rule where you have to compete in the drills in order to go to the combine and do the interviews and do the interviews with teams and the media stuff. Like, bro, NFL doesn't tell their top guys whether they're going to do, even if they do the drills or not, they still have them come.
Yeah.
They give them their gear. They let them talk to the media.
The hottest recruit at my combine. They let them sit in with teams. Exactly. Hottest recruit at my combine was Laramie Tunsil. He was going to be number one overall. And then as the draft was happening, that video came out. His stepdad, like, posted the video of him smoking a gas mask bong.
His stepdad, bro. Damn, he must have told him he wasn't.
That was
him no money.
I'm gonna under the bus fine for his stepdad threw crazy. That man that's under hate. The bus. Just that was hating. That was he hate. Went from number one to, like, number six overall, which is like an $8 million difference drop. In both signing bonus and salary.
Yeah, it's a lot of money.
That's like $16 million. So anyway,
that's a lot of money.
But he didn't do Laramie didn't do most of the combine stuff. He did, like, some of the O-line specific drills. That's it. But he had the most interviews because he was able to still interview and stuff. It's like, yo, Laramie Tunsil was the best tackle that year.
It's coverage,
though.
That's what the fans want to hear about.
Exactly.
Why not just have the guy? You know they're worried about the NFL. All right, don't worry about doing the test. Just come do the interviews.
Yeah.
Talk to the teams.
Exactly.
Just having them there is media coverage.
And that's why, like, I kind of wish.
People interested.
Exactly. Like, I kind of wish that was an option for me, for example, because CFL straight up told me, like, oh, like, you know, you did the NFL combine, like, a year and a half ago, whatever. Like, those numbers are solid. We know you're in better shape now, so don't even worry about going to it.
Yeah.
Because I was already planning on going to the CFL Combine in 2000 and, like, the early part of 2018.
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, don't even worry about it. And I was like, but I could come and, like, interview and stuff. And I'm like, don't worry about it. I didn't know it was because of the rule.
Yeah, the rule.
So I had to go and do my own thing.
The CFL send you home.
Yeah, so, like, I had to go do my own, like, showcase with interviews and all that good stuff, you know what I mean? But so honestly, I'm grateful though, because combine sucks.
Yeah,
combine sucks.
I never been to one.
Oh my god, it's the worst time, dude. It's really special because it's such a big deal and it's, like, cool to be a part of. But my god, is it a grind?
I believe it.
Not complaining because it was a blessing to be a part of. But my god,
yeah,
it's like four straight nights of, like, 3 hours of sleep. It's terrible.
Yeah, man.
And then you got to perform.
Well, again, like I said, I think there's good talent in Canada. Again, it's a very far ways to go.
Yeah, and I think it could get there. That's the thing, because I feel like there is becoming more interest, and they're building some, like, younger leagues, or they're building up, like, their little leagues a little bit more, like, creating more interest in football.
Yeah.
And I think more talented guys are sticking around in Canada and coaching.
I see where the issue is.
Yeah.
And I fault a lot of it on the CFL, because I think the CFL's popularity would be a lot bigger if they had more involvement in the grassroots. Like how the NFL has Play 60 and they have...
Absolutely.
If the CFL had something like that in the offseason where
they're
flying guys in, like, hey, we're doing a camp in this city.
But
we'll
they
pay
leave
you, we'll
exactly.
pay you, come through.
Yep, yep.
You know what I'm saying? Interact with the kids. You
they
know
have
saying?
Nothing like
Make
that.
Make it worthwhile.
No, they spend their money on stupid shit.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, is they leave it on the players. Like, I know there's so many guys on the Alouettes. Every year you vote for a guy on your team that has done, like, the most for community outreach. And then it eventually goes. It's kind of like the Walter Payton Award in NFL.
Yeah.
Anyway. And we had so many guys that, like, could have been up there, like, pitching their case that help with, like, the Little League footballs and, like, their communities around, but it's all up to them. They have to do it on their own. And, like, these are guys that aren't making a lot of money.
Yeah.
Not making any more than, Yeah. I don't even, you know what I mean? Like, they're making, like, a very common salary.
And, But everything comes out of pocket.
Exactly. And they're going out of pocket. And they're not backed by the CFL. And they're not backed.
But like, NFL does do that. Because that's how I run my youth camps in the States. NFL has a grant program where they'll match. So if you put in 1,000, they'll match the 1,000.
Exactly. So it's like they help out with that.
They'll match
the
2,000.
And like, and that stuff is,
I think,
so
the CFL
big.
Should do that. I think that'll be big too in building grassroots.
Exactly, because imagine being like an 8-9 year old playing some flag football, or even like your first year of padded practice, and all of a sudden you have this CFL player from your whole hometown. You know what I mean? Coming to your practice, and you know, on his
dime, that's the thing. I
and
think
coaching
the...
you up for a week, and like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's special, man. Like, that change, that, like, really, really inspires kids to
really
chase
it. I know what you're
and
saying.
And the CFL is nothing like that.
Yeah. But I think it should encompass all. I think if you include the American guys in as well, I just feel like there's a lot of things that the league could do better to help build it. I just don't think they're not putting their all into it for what's possible to return. I think, again,
the amount of
return that they get from profits and stuff is so entrenched in these owners' minds that they're not just saying, you know what, if we put this amount of money into it, we can grow it to this.
Exactly. And it goes back to like our first episode talking about Ambrosia with CFL 2.0 going international. It's like, hey man, Canadian fans are already upset that Canadian spots are being, you know, taken by the Americans. Why don't we spend more money to get in the communities and start like inspiring young players to ball out and really work the craft of football.
Yeah, even
because
the teams
in the
can
States,
do it year round.
High school football in the States now is year round. Like, if you're not doing stuff with your high school football team, you are training on your own with O-line coaches, D-line coaches, wide receiver coaches, quarterback coaches. If you're not doing that, I guarantee you don't make it.
Yeah.
Like, you might be one of those freaks.
There's
like a
lot of stuff to do in the States.
There's so many things to do.
You got those Nike Elite camps. You got Rivals.
And those are just the camps. I'm talking about, like, personal trainers. I had a running coach here. Yeah. I had a running coach to teach me how to run my freshman, sophomore year of high school. That made me so much more athletic. That's, like, the biggest reason I was able to go to college, because, like, I learned how to run correctly. And, like guys down here look for things, even at the high school level, to get them,
to break them across.
Like every high school quarterback has some quarterback coach in the offseason.
Yeah, that's common.
It's very common. I don't see that in Canada that much.
No. But I think that there's a niche there that can be, you know what I'm saying, that can be fulfilled. I think they just haven't taken advantage of it.
Exactly. So coming next offseason is going to be Bone Crusher and Moose's O-line D-line camp.
No, for real.
I think we're playing, we're going to be doing a camp.
For real.
At some point.
We're doing
probably
a world tour across Canada. As long as I can find a dome, somebody willing to work with me, get a partner.
Indoors, so we're not getting snowed on.
Yeah. But that's how, in Canada, I think that's how you got to do it.
Absolutely.
I think probably building an indoor facility up there probably would
kill a game. Somewhere where, who makes the big men up there? It's got to be Alberta. It's got to be like
Ontario.
The corn for people. You think so?
I think it's because they're a little closer to the border than other places.
Yeah.
So, like, New York is right there.
Yeah.
Like, Buffalo is only, like, 45 minutes
it's
or an hour away.
It's literally, like, from Montreal, it's, like, 45 minutes to the border.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I think the places where it's closer to the border, it's kind of like the trickle over. It's kind of catching on to them. But the thing is to get it up into, like, the parts where it's not many.
Exactly. Because, like, there's nothing like that. I mean, and I'm basically talking my ass because I haven't even done any research on this. It's because I know, because I see it. Because I don't see the talent, I know there's nowhere for, or there's so few.
I think it's the physical development.
Yeah,
and
there's
the mentality.
So, exactly, mentality. There's so few places for, you know, young kids to go to work on their craft outside of season. And there's nothing like that in Canada for football. There's so much like hockey is year round up there.
Yeah,
like you're training like. The way Canada trains in hockey
offseason, that's why.
That exactly.
And actually,
and that's
outdoor
exactly,
too.
No.
It's cold.
Yeah, but you're exactly right, because hockey, you're able to play year round there. Football, it gets too cold, and you have to find a field indoors, and that's tough. Like a full field, 100-yard field indoors, that's so hard
to
find.
Rough.
So it's tough. So, but in the States, football is treated like hockey.
Man, I could imagine finding
you practice
a way to
year
build
round.
Like a nice little dome facility.
Exactly.
Kill a game.
Down here, like
host a Canadian high school, all Canadian high school championships or something like
that'd
crazy.
Be so sick. That'd be sick.
do a brainstorm. But yeah, that's about it for us today. Yeah. Appreciate y'all tuning in. It's a little slow on the news front. We're trying to find ways to get through episodes. I think next week we're gonna start getting some more guests on here. Absolutely. So for the value listeners, if there's any guy in the CFL that you would like to hear from, let us know. We'll reach out to them, try to get them on the podcast.
We can Skype them in. It's super easy to do. Super easy. We can Skype anybody. So fans, let us know.
Get involved. Let us know what you want to hear about. Let us know what you want to talk about. Let us know some of the guys that you want to hear from themselves or you want to hear us talk about. Absolutely. Now I'm getting to the point now where I don't care. We got a month to the season. I'll throw a few targets on my back to piss some people.
Let's go. I don't care.
I'm ready for it. I can handle it.
You're going to play me harder? Great. I'll look better beating you.
Yes.
Perfect.
Come get slapped up some more.
Thank you so much, everybody. And again, make sure to follow, like, and subscribe.
Yes.
Perfectly free. And that is Instagram, the number one way to support us. And thank you so much. And
SoundCloud, YouTube. We love you. See you guys next week.
See y'all later.